Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Axis Capes Technologies Q3 and 9M FY 2023 results conference call organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shishir Gahoi from Axis Capes. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone, and I am delighted to welcome you all to this earnings call for the third quarter and nine months ended December 2022. I hope you all had an opportunity to review our press release and the investor presentation, which are available under the investor section of our website, and the same are accessible in the BSE and NSE websites. To discuss our results, we have with us our CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy, and our Group CFO, Mr. Shashidhar SK. They will take you through our results and business performance, after which we will proceed for the question and answer session. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that this conference call may contain some forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on the belief, opinions, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. The actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guaranteeing the future performance of the company and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand over the call to our CEO and MD, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy. Over to you, Arun.
Thank you, Shishir. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you, and I trust that you're keeping well. I'm happy to address this forum, having recently completed one year leading Axis Cadis. The last one year has been transformational and fulfilling for me and for the company, and we have been able to reposition the company in terms of its business performance and preparedness for the next level of growth. For those of you that I'm meeting for the first time, I joined Axis Cadis in November 2021. I relocated from London to Bangalore for this job, and whilst in London, was in Tata Technologies as their president for Europe and managed a $200 million engineering services portfolio for automotive, aerospace, and industrial. Prior to that, I had a long stint in Wipro, where I managed a half a billion-dollar portfolio for the utilities P&L. I have about 20 years of experience on sales and managing P&Ls, and I lived in the U.S. and U.K. working with customers intimately to win, grow, and scale up our business. Our strategic focus in the short to medium term is to de-risk the business with a three-pronged approach of vertical diversification, customer diversification, and digital first. The company has made considerable progress on all three fronts by diversifying our revenue streams from new verticals, expanding our client base, and bringing digital and automation to the forefront. We continue to invest in technologies of the future, such as embedded software, AI/ML, PLM on the cloud, and Industry 4.0. We have strengthened our marketing team both in India and overseas, who are working towards creating more strategic logos, expanding our customer base, as well as leveraging the competencies of Mistral. You will see the results of these initiatives in the forthcoming quarters. I would like to share a key update for the quarter. In line with our guidance in our previous earning calls, I am pleased to report that we have concluded the acquisition of Mistral Solutions. This is a value-accretive asset for the company, which will help us expand our capabilities and offerings to our global customers in semiconductor, defense, and homeland security. The integration process between these two entities is well underway, with seamless collaboration between both the companies. Going forward, we will put our best effort to drive the synergies from this acquisition in terms of competencies, incremental revenue, and profitability. We are delighted to report that Airbus has renewed our contract for the fourth time in succession after a rigorous joint sourcing optimization campaign, which significantly enhanced scope, thereby strengthening our close to two decades of relationship with Airbus. This contract renewal will entail niche engineering services in product development and plant engineering across fuselage and wings, covering different locations and divisions of Airbus. This is a testimony to the dedicated work and execution capabilities of our team. We continue to see good traction in other verticals such as automotive and energy. We are positioning ourselves to become a preferred and strategic partner in both these sectors. Our engagement with our automotive and energy customers is ramping up as per our expectation. The revenues from this segment, which are currently in single digit, will form a significant portion of our revenue in the next 2 to 3 years. With addition of the expertise in semiconductor and embedded electronics domain of Mistral, our product engineering services segment is picking pace, registering strong growth in the current quarter. We would like to cross-sell these competencies to our global client and reap the benefits of synergy. Moving forward, this segment will be a key focus area and a key contributor to our financial and profitability metrics. The product and solutions vertical has resumed its growth trajectory, with revenues in 9 months FY23 growing to more than double of the same period of previous year. This growth is driven by the contract for supply of anti-drone systems by Axis Cadis Aerospace and radar and other defense electronics by Mistral to the Indian Defense. As the focus on homegrown technologies increases, the defense sector offers an exciting and significant opportunity for the company in the future. The participation of Axis Cadis, Mistral and Axis Cadis Aerospace as one entity in the ongoing Aero India 23 has drawn much interest from business visitors to the Aero Show, including all the three wings of defense forces. I am happy to report that the company continues to record healthy numbers, both in terms of revenue and profitability. The consolidated revenues grew by 10% quarter on quarter and 26% year on year at 213.4 crore, which is the highest ever revenue recorded in any quarter in any financial year. So for us as a company, this is a historic quarter. For the 9 months of the current financial year, the company's revenues was at 590.4 crores, a growth of 42% over the previous year, with EBITDA at INR 93.6 crores, which excludes other income. The company in 9 months has exceeded the full EBITDA of INR 68.7 crore recorded in FY22. The EBITDA margin at 15.8% on revenue is a significant improvement over EBITDA margin of 9.8% recorded in the same period of previous year. All our subsidiary entities and verticals have shown healthy growth year on year. However, we have to reckon with variability between quarters, both in terms of revenue and profitability in our defense business from Mistral and Axis Cadis Aerospace due to its lumpiness, and it is more appropriate to do the comparison on the basis of completed year rather than quarter to quarter. To conclude, the company is in a prime position to capture the scale and scope of opportunities in the engineering services sector, and our objective is to continue to generate long-term value for all our stakeholders. We seek your continued support and blessings in this journey. I would now like to invite our Group CFO, Mr. Sashidhar, for a brief overview of the quarterly and year-to-date financial results.
Thank you, Arun, and good evening to everyone. I, as Arun, completed 1 year with Axis Cadis in January of this year, and it has indeed been an engaging and satisfying year for me too, working with Arun on this business transformation journey. Being a CFO as well as a company secretary in most of my career, I had the onerous task of performance as well as conformance. All along in my entire career of 30 plus years, of which 26 plus years has been as a CFO, I have been part of business turnarounds in each and every stint of mine. As such, I have always been an operations CFO, facilitating and driving business turnarounds and growth, apart from being a compliance CFO. Like Arun, I also come from the Tata stable. I was heading the aerospace and defense vertical of the Tata for close to a decade as a CFO and company secretary. My immediate past profile was as a CFO and company secretary with Stovecraft, a Sequoia-funded company, which I took public in 2021, one of the most successful public issues at that point in time. My focus in this company in the short to medium term is to build momentum in revenue growth, cash generation, profit margin and velocity, meaning optimization of working capital. Coming to the financial results, we are pleased to share with you that we have delivered robust growth in revenue and profitability for the third quarter and 9 months of the current financial year. The quarterly and year-to-date financial results are already with you, which are in accordance with our expectations. Our endeavor is to continue to record healthy growth and profitability by focusing on our three-pronged strategy of vertical diversification, customer diversification, and digital first, as was elaborated by Arun. For Q3 of FY23, our consolidated revenue stands at INR 213.4 crores, the highest ever revenue recorded in any quarter of the financial year in the history of the company. The company's revenue grew by 10% sequentially and 26% year on year. In fact, in the last 5 quarters, the company has recorded upwards of 26% growth year on year in every single quarter. For the 9 months of the current financial year, the consolidated revenue stands at INR 590.4 crores, growing by 42% year on year. With this, we have achieved almost the entire revenue. To be more precise, 97% of 608 crores which we recorded for the full year FY22 in just in 9 months of the current financial year. Of the 590.4 crores, Axis Cade, the parent entity, recorded a revenue of INR 327.5 crores and grew by 25%. Axis Cade Aerospace at INR 64.7 crores grew by 82%, and Mistral Solutions at 198.3 crores grew by 68% year on year. As such, the parent company Axis Cade contributed 56% of the total revenue, Mistral contributed 34%, and Axis Cade Aerospace contributed about 10% of the consolidated revenue. All business verticals registered healthy revenue growth during the quarter, except for heavy engineering, which degrew by 7% quarter on quarter and 3% year on year due to supply side challenges. Aerospace revenue grew by 13.5% quarter on quarter and 42% year on year. Automotive and energy, which together constitute about 7% of revenue, grew upwards of 60% year on year. Product engineering services, which constitutes the semiconductor and embedded business of Mistral, grew by 29% year on year. And product and solutions business, which constitutes the defense and homeland security revenue of Axis Cade Aerospace and Mistral, grew by 29% year on year. Our EBITDA for the third quarter is INR 29.6 crores on revenue at 13.9%. As was apprised during the previous earnings call, the previous quarter Q2 FY23, the EBITDA margin was unusually high at 19.3% due to the service revenue of Axis Cade, where the expenses were very less. So, in fact, the EBITDA margin which was for Axis Cade Aerospace in Q2 of FY23 was at 41%, which took the overall enterprise EBITDA to a high level of 19.3%. The normalized EBITDA margin for this business is around 14 to 15%. That is for Axis Cade Aerospace. So if you look at individual entities in Q3 FY23, Axis Cade's EBITDA margin is at 14%, Axis Cade's Aerospace margin is at 14.1%, and Mistral's margin is at 15.4%. Our 9 months FY23 EBITDA is at 93.6 crores. The comparative EBITDA for the same period of previous year was at INR 40.7 crores. As such, we have more than doubled our EBITDA as compared to the previous year. In fact, in 9 months, we have already achieved 137% of the full year EBITDA of INR 68.7 crores recorded in the previous year, FY22. This excludes other income. If you include other income, the EBITDA is well past 103.7 crores at 17.26%, as against the full year previous year EBITDA of 79.7 crores at 12.86%. Our 9 months FY23 EBITDA margin is at 15.8%, an improvement of 600 basis points over 9.8% recorded in the same period of previous year. Of this, Axis Cade, the parent entity's EBITDA margin is at 13.9%, an improvement over 7.3% recorded in the same period of last year. The Axis Cade Aerospace margin is at 23%. Previous year 9 months it was at 3.7%, and Mistral's EBITDA margin is 15.9%, and the previous year's EBITDA margin was 14.6%. Our endeavor is to continue to enhance our EBITDA margins by enhanced revenue as well as quality of revenue on the one side, and improvement in operating efficiencies and digitization automation on the other. As Arun stated, please note that the company needs to reckon with variability in margins quarter to quarter in its defense business, and it's more appropriate to compare the same on a year-on-year basis due to the variability in the composition of revenue between the quarters. The margins tend to be compressed in the quarter where the company is developing prototypes and bidding for tenders, and tend to expand during production runs. The company has taken an exceptional charge of INR 23.6 crores in the current quarter and INR 68.03 crores for the 9 months in the consolidated financial results. This is solely related to Mistral acquisition and pertains to the additional consideration and the interest paid to Mistral and interest accrued on optionally convertible debentures, which is not part of the original purchase consideration of Mistral. We state that there will be no more exceptional charges in the company's books on this account going forward. And as stated by Arun, the company completed the acquisition of Mistral in December 2022 without having to dilute its share capital by opting to pay cash instead of share or Axis Cash shares for phase 2 of the transaction. And in the process, the company took incremental debt of INR 215 crores at noticeably higher rates of interest due to the tight timelines imposed by the arbitration tribunal to close the transaction. The company is currently in the process of refinancing these loans at competitive rates of interest and hopes to complete the same as soon as possible. While this year the company's free cash flow generation from EBITDA is impacted by investment of own funds for Mistral acquisition, some part of it, investments in incremental working capital, especially in Mistral, and additional finance costs resulting from Mistral acquisition, our endeavor in FY24 will be to optimize the working capital, refinance, pare down the debt, and reduce the gap between EBITDA and free cash flows. As was informed during the previous earnings call, the company is wanting to raise primary capital of around INR 100 crores plus to pare down the debt as well as raise growth capital. The mandate has been issued to Edelweiss. Hopefully, we'll have something positive to report by the next earnings call. And also, as has been informed to the stock exchanges, the company has called off its proposed acquisition of Ad Solutions Germany post its due diligence process. However, the company is always on the lookout for value-accretive acquisitions. To conclude, the company is bullish on the prospects and potential of engineering services industry and the path we have set out for ourselves for our continued growth and profitability. We thank each one of our stakeholders for being with us in this journey. We'll pass at this stage and we'll now open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Hemant Shah from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you so much for this opportunity. I have two questions. You said the realistic margins in this space is 14 to 15%. Is that correct?
I basically talked about Axis Cad as aerospace, and the margins as what we are recording is about 14 to 15% on a normalized basis. You see, the margins essentially what would happen is during the development of prototypes. The kind of margins as what we get is around 14 to 15%, but the moment it gets converted to production runs, the margins are far, far higher. At the moment, you know, we are completed quite a lot of, I would say, design programs where the prototypes have been completed, both with respect to Mistral as well as Axis Cad Aerospace. We are waiting for the production runs to happen for many of the programs as what we have bid for.
Okay, great. So going forward, can we expect some margin improvements, sir? That is my question. Is that the understanding right?
Your understanding is right, yes.
Okay, great. And what kind of synergies we can expect with Mistral, sir, going forward in terms of, say, reduction of cost as well as improvement in efficiency?
Okay.
And the quality of the contribution of Mistral overall with Axis Cad's.
Yeah, Hemant, hi. This is Arun Krishnamurti here. I'll answer your question. Firstly, you know, the reason we acquired Mistral is because they have very strong embedded electronics capabilities. And if you look at the engineering services world, most clients are pivoting towards embedded and digital. And that's where the profitability is higher and the stickiness is also higher. And you have the ability to also gain greater mind share with the customer. So the objective that we have is that one is the defense business that we have through Mistral and the defense business that we have through our subsidiary. We will look at how we can synergize, and actually both are complementary skills because Mistral works with a lot of the defense labs like DRDO, LRDE, companies like HAL, BEL, etc. And the Axis Cad subsidiary works with one is the offset partners and directly with the armed forces like the anti-drone system for the Indian Army, etc. So both put together will actually cover the whole spectrum and address the complete defense spend that's available in India. That's point number one. Point number two, all the verticals that we service, automotive, energy, aerospace, heavy engineering and semiconductor, there is a huge play for us to take the embedded electronics capabilities if you look at Axis Gate, is traditionally we have been a mechanical engineering oriented company. So most of the work we did with aerospace, with heavy engineering, was on the mechanical side. Now we are looking at cross-selling the embedded into these clients. So one is it expands the portfolio and the wallet share that we can have with our clients. And number two, you know, because these skills are quite rare and niche, the rates are better and the profitability will be higher. So we are banking big on these synergies, and you know, these skills are not easily available, and Mistral has made quite a name for themselves. So we see the impact will come on, of course, on the top line, because we can address more of the client's business, but also from a profitability business perspective, because, you know, we will be addressing higher areas of spend which are more profitable.
Okay, great, great. I mean, great to hear that. And the synergies between the two companies in terms of the integration of the two companies, I mean, have you faced any issues with respect to the work culture or the team overlapping of the teams, please?
Actually, the integration is going very seamlessly. Part of the reason is that Mistral, you know, there are three founders, co-founders. All of them are staying back with us, and we are working shoulder to shoulder with them to make sure that the company is integrated. So we are well on that that journey now. You know, the cultural integration is happening well. We are harmonizing a lot of the, you know, employee benefits and the levels at which employees are and the other benefits, etc. And, you know, we're also encouraging employees to come and work, you know, in each other's offices. So it's actually going well. Of course, as you know, integration takes 3 to 6 months. So we just started, you know, in right earnest from December 26th when we completed the acquisition. But it's I would say it is beyond our expectations in terms of how well it's progressing.
Oh, great, great. Fantastic, fantastic. All the best, and this is it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hemant. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinath Krishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Congrats on the wonderful performance. Arun and Sashi, it would be helpful if you could share maybe a 2-3 year view on qualitatively, both qualitatively and quantitatively, the strategy for Axis Cadiz and Mistral. That's my first question. And secondly, I guess both Sashi and you own ESOPs in the company. What would give you happiness, you know, in terms of growth, margins over a 2-3 year period? I understand that you are restructuring the company. So maybe a 2-3 year view would be helpful. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Srinath. I'll start by answering your question. So firstly, good to talk to you again. Just in terms of what the outlook is going forward, I'll just spend a minute in talking in terms of what we have done over the past 1 year since we joined the company. So one is that, like we talked during the introduction, you know, we have the three-pronged strategy, which is predominantly around vertical diversification, the reducing the client concentration mix through, you know, client diversification, and the focus on digital and embedded. So this is something that we are banking big on, because now we have five verticals. So we actually have a very good spread, I feel. In the past, because we were exposed to just three verticals, when any macroeconomic situation happened, we were, you know, detrimentally impacted. But now, because we have a good spread, and energy, for example, is quite a recession-proof industry, we feel that we have a good spread to sort of stabilize the revenues and put it on a good growth path. Second is that, you know, the first thing we did is we wanted to transform the sales team. So the company predominantly had account managers. So we were, you know, I would say quite reliant on two major accounts, and the sales team was also more of farmer, so to speak, capabilities. What we have done over the past year, we hired about 4 or 5 people. These are people who are hunters who can go and get new logos in new industries, and they can aggressively generate a pipeline. And this has sort of resulted in the great momentum we have in automotive and energy, which are new verticals for us, which we started this year. The third thing I would say is that we have invested big time in digital. So we have a head of digital. We have about 7 people. The focus for us is twofold. One is that we're looking at all the industry verticals. We're building out use cases. We have done a lot of brainstorming. We have picked 2 use cases per industry, and we will build platforms and products which are differentiators. The second aspect is we are looking at internal automation very aggressively. So I have given targets to our teams, our delivery teams, to look at how we can do the same piece of work with reduced headcount and increase the levels of automation. And the objective of reducing the headcount is to redeploy them on new projects. Because we are on a growth trajectory, instead of hiring 100 people, we can probably hire 50 people if we can automate and digitize more. In terms of Mistral, I already, when Hemant asked this question, I did mention that we are, doing a lot in terms of cross-leveraging. Couple of examples, for example, Mistral has a lot of capabilities on avionics. We are taking it to our aerospace customers because, like I said, we did a lot of mechanical, but avionics is something that, again, has a huge growth potential, so we're doing that. Similarly, they have a lot of capabilities on radar technology. If you look at automotive with autonomous driving coming in, there's a big application for radar. So we are taking that. So those are just two examples in terms of how we are sort of, cross-leveraging Mistral. And then we are increasing the focus on strategic accounts. So if we have two strategic accounts now, we will add two more strategic accounts next year. So the model for growth that we want to have is not to acquire many clients. It's to focus on few strategic accounts. So add 2 to 3 strategic accounts every year so that the quality of revenues is good. We do more of project-based business. We are not interested in the staffing business because that is a commodity. So we want to grow strategic accounts. That way we get closer to the customer. We do higher value work and it becomes much more sticky for us. And that's the way we want to grow our business. Lastly, I would say we have done a lot in terms of visibility. And we've done visibility so that our customers recognize us more. We pop up more often when they think of, vendors and suppliers whom they want to work with. And we also done a lot in terms of, stakeholders, so that our stakeholders also recognize and, for example, participating in the Aero Show is one example of that. So in terms of going forward, if you look at the previous financial year, we grew at about 17%. This year you've seen the nine-month numbers, the three-quarter numbers, so you can see that we have a very good growth trajectory. If you look at the industry, the ER&D industry grows anywhere between 15% to 18%. So for the last 2 years, the previous financial year as well as 9 months of this year, we have surpassed that number. So our objective is to grow beyond industry growth rate. So like I said, the industry is in the range of 15 to 18. Our objective is to grow beyond the industry growth rates. At the same time, focusing on EBITDA, focusing on cash flow, making sure that the fundamentals of the company are good. So that is what I would say in terms of forward-looking statements, Srinath. And I would say that in my 30 years of sales, I would say this is 1 year where we are seeing more opportunities than the people we have. So it's a very robust pipeline that we have. And going into next year as well, we have very good order pipeline. So we are very confident that we will be on a good growth trajectory. In terms of ESOPs, I have 4% ESOPs. Sashi has 3% ESOPs. What would we like to do? Obviously, we'd like to create shareholder delight. We'll want to make sure that all our stakeholders are happy. And obviously, all of you are better experts on the stock market than me. So I don't want to get into predicting what the stock price is. But you're seeing that, when we joined the company, when I joined in November 2021, the share price was 82 rupees, market cap 300 crores. Now it is somewhere in the 1200, 1250 crore market cap. So I think we have quadrupled it in 1 year. Not to say that that's going to again happen next year, but we are very positive that, with the right outcomes and the right fundamentals for the company, everything else will follow.
Definitely. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Good luck to everyone.
Thank you, Srinath.
Yeah, so just to add to what Arun said, my single-minded focus for the short to medium term is cash generation, profit margin and velocity, as what I explained earlier. We need to optimize a lot of working capital of what has been deployed. And between last year and this year, the incremental deployment of working capital, especially in Mistral, has gone up. So my focus is to kind of do everything possible in terms of reducing the incremental working capital deployment and remove that linearity and ensure that there is as less a gap as possible between EBITDA and cash flows. Of course, we are very conscious of the fact that there's a lot of debt on the books and we are progressing well in terms of refinancing it. We hope to kind of, I would say, take out at least some portion of debt with a possible equity raise, which I'm talking about. And at the same time, the journey with respect to margins, as you saw between last year, 11.3% in terms of EBITDA, we are now currently at 16%. We still have to bridge at least about another 500 basis points between now and the next 3 to 4 years. And that includes just about everything as what Arun stated in terms of the de-risking initiatives as what is there, and also to ensure to reduce the linearity or remove the linearity between revenue and cost, especially in terms of people and with all these automation initiatives. So we want to take maximum advantage of the operating leverage as what has kicked in, and that's where our focus is going to be going forward.
Yeah, sorry, I just wanted to add one point which I forgot is that on the ESOPs, both me and Sashi, and I want to give everybody the assurance that none of it is time-based vesting. Everything is performance-based vesting. So we are evaluated on top line, we are evaluated on profitability, on PBT, and on the qualitative basis in terms of, you know, how much embedded revenues, digital revenues and all of that. So everything that we have, 100% of these ESOPs that both I and Sashi have, and this is the same model we are also cascading down to the company, it will all be performance-based vesting.
Jay, one last question. For the Mistral employees, I guess you have an ESOP structure here. For Mistral employees, do you plan a similar structure, incentive structure?
Yes, that is the plan, Srinath, you know, because, you know, we have to retain the employees in Mistral. That is where our competencies can be, you know, the competence of Mistral can be leveraged. We have a plan and we're working towards that.
Thank you. Good luck. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasras Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Shishi. Hi, Arun.
Yep.
So, Shishi, can you just give me a breakup of 9 months number between Axis and Mistral? So, how much is Mistral and how much is Axis?
So, as I told earlier, the number with respect to Axis Cash in terms of revenue is 328 crores for Axis Cash as the parent entity. And all, of course, the standalone business plus all the other subsidiary entities and the global entities is what we have. And Axis Cadet Aerospace is at 65 crores and Mistral is at 198 crores. Just to give you a comparison, the Axis Cadet is at 327 crores. Comparative number for last year was 262 crores. So we have grown by 25%. And Axis Cadet Aerospace, 65 crores this year, 9 months. Last year, 36 crores, that means an 82% kind of a growth. And Mistral, whole of last year, they did 196 crores. In 9 months, they have done 198 crores. Last year, same comparative 9 months was 118 crores. So a growth of 68%.
This year, you think Mistral 9 months is 188 or 196?
198.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of the order book, what is the order book of Axis and Mistral?
All the three entities put together as of 31st December, we have confirmed order book of around $75 million. And so we should be carrying close to about $40 to $45 million to the next financial year.
Okay. And what is the deal pipeline, which is not confirmed, but reasonably we are sure that we can get some 70%, 75% of that?
You see, we actually judge the order pipeline in four different phases right from the time an opportunity, you know, comes along. So the order pipeline with respect to all the entities other than Mistral is about $280 million. And Mistral alone has got an order pipeline of 3,000 crores. In the sense that all of these 3,000 crores, they are all prototypes which are manufactured and qualified and they are awaiting orders. And the way the business goes in this particular business, this 3,000 crores is, you know, very, very much in the pocket in the sense that the production orders may get phased out the way the defense and the ministry works. It may get phased over next, 5 to 8 years or even 10 years. But all of this is already in the pocket in the sense that they're all qualified prototypes and it is not possible for the government to go elsewhere, once these orders are placed by the government.
But these are long-term projects, typically. So they are like 6-7 years kind of project.
Yeah, these are all design wins. They are all prototypes which have been submitted to the government against tenders. And those, prototypes have been qualified in the sense that they are all accepted by the, by the various entities to which they have been supplied. And now they are awaiting orders.
Perfect. And what is the headcount as on March 22 and what is the headcount as on December 22? So how much we have added in the last 9 months headcount?
We have added a net about 800 people. So we started off at around 2,000 people at the beginning of the year and we are currently at about 2,800, including all the entities.
Including all the?
Entities. That means Mistral, Axis Cadet Aerospace and the parent entity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much would be the utilization? Is it all utilized or will there be any unbilled revenue, unbilled employees?
Yeah, so hi Jeevan, this is Arun here. I'll take that question. So basically our utilization is anywhere between 85% to 88%. This year we hired a lot of freshers, fresh from college. So we hired about close to 150 freshers. These people go through a 6-month training period. So they go through 6 months, which comprises of classroom plus shadowing some senior members, and then they get billed. So the reason the utilization is in that region is because, you know, the freshers will get billed and they all joined in the last 4 months. So we expect that when the next financial year starts, all of them will get billed. So we are at a very healthy rate, and if anything, we could take more people and get them billed. So in fact, we have a sign in our office which says trespassers will be recruited.
Okay. Great. And one question here, Arun, actually. So you have worked in Wipro, you have worked in Tata Technologies. So how do you see the difference between the billing rate for, you know, typical IT services company and the engineering research and service company? So how much is the difference typically in the billing rate?
So I would say, Jeevan, the difference predominantly is that in IT services, the deal sizes are very large. So in a Wipro or a Tata, 100 million, 150 million is not uncommon. The biggest deal that I did in Wipro was actually 1.3 billion, which was a combination of asset takeover, but it was a 10-year deal at 1.3. In engineering services, you don't get those kind of deals. The Airbus deal that we have, 75 million over 3 years, is actually a massive deal. So the big difference is there between engineering services and IT services that the deal sizes are smaller. In terms of billing rates, it really depends on the work. For us, embedded digital commands, better billing, more premium, whereas, you know, when it comes to certain types of mechanical engineering, that's more commodity. And that's why we are, obviously, we want to continue with our bread and butter of mechanical, but we want to increase the share of digital and embedded, and that way we think that we can take up the EBITDA. And of course, you know, digital will play a big role in terms of automation.
Okay. And we have paid 295 crores for the Mistral acquisition. So does that include interest cost and everything, or that's separate?
No, that includes everything. That includes everything. It includes the entire interest and additional consideration, everything awarded by the tribunal. So this is all in cost. 296 crores is all in cost.
Okay. And all these costs will now be... so how we are going to treat it in the P&L? Is it going to be amortized, or how
is it? No, it is a part of investments. It is already appearing in the balance sheet as investments. So there is no, apart from the exceptional charge which we took, which I explained earlier, because of the fact that the original purchase consideration did not involve these amounts, which is basically the 44 crores in terms of interest and additional consideration which we paid, plus the 23 odd crores which came into the books this quarter as a result of the interest accrued on the optionally convertible debentures, which was in the explosive of books. There is no other P&L charge, and it's all, you know, the revenues has, are being consolidated into the books right from day one, which is from 2017, because we also had a management control.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. I think this is it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeevan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please proceed, Mr. Poddar.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand, I mean, in one of the earlier comments you mentioned that going forward we do expect some margin improvement, right? So what's the steady state margin our kind of business you're looking at? I mean, from currently on a consolidated basis, maybe what, 14.8%? What 17-18% is a fair over next 2-3 years is what the kind of margins level we might be looking at?
So as I told you, you know, we are currently, like 9 months of the current financial year, we are at 15.8% only on revenue. Of course, it excludes other income. The journey is to kind of bridge either 400 to 500 basis points between now and the next couple of years is what we are looking at. If you look at the industry, you know, margins, it is usually around 18%. 18% plus, 18 to 19% is what I would say. And we need to traverse this journey. We need to traverse this journey in between now and the next couple of years.
2 years. So 2 years, we are looking at 400 to 500 basis point improvement, right?
You see, in 2 years, you see, every single year, we are looking at about at least, you know, because now we have taken the, you know, low-hanging fruits. The operating leverage has kicked in.
So I would say that our objective, you know, without giving specific guidance, our objective is to kind of bridge this gap of anywhere between 400 to 500 basis points in the next 3 years.
In the next 3 years, 400 to 500. So basically our target would be to reach in the range of maybe what, 20%, right?
That is the ambition, yes.
Okay, understood. In terms of our growth trajectory, I mean, in the presentation as well, you mentioned that in heavy engineering, growth can be muted, right? And I mean, in the past, we have said that what the growth industry is seeing and what growth we can see might be in the range of 18 to 20% in terms of top line on an overall console basis. So now because of this heavy engineering sector not doing as well, do you see any change in that growth trajectory that we might see over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, hi Deepak, this is Arun here. So the whole point of doing the vertical diversification is for us to absorb the seasonalities and the headwinds which might impact a specific sector. So previously we had only 3 sectors, so when one went down, you know, it had an impact on the company. And now we have defense plus 5 sectors. So we feel with that spread, and at any point in time, there is always going to be some sector which has a headwind, right? I mean, not everything is going to be firing on all cylinders. So heavy engineering at this point, compared to automotive, energy, you know, aerospace, is a little bit muted. But the whole point of having this spread across verticals is to sort of, if something goes down, something else makes up and they are on the growth path. So we feel that this, you know, the industry leading growth that I talked about is possible because of the spread of the sector that we are in now.
And this industry leading growth is what, 20%?
No, so like I said, engineering services is 15 to 18%. So we will look at, you know, being beyond that region.
Beyond that 15 to 18% range, right?
Yes. Right. Yes.
On the overall company level.
That's correct.
Okay, in terms of interest cost, we have seen a quarter-on-quarter increase, right? So how do we see that? I mean, what led to that increase and how do we see that going forward?
Yeah, so basically, you know, this entire interest cost, if you see both in the standalone financials and the consolidated financials, have somewhat doubled. The reason being the entire quantum, it was kind of a leverage buyout, so to say, the entire Mistral acquisition which happened, We borrowed funds to the extent of around 215 crores and that had to be borrowed because at high cost, the reason being the matter was before the arbitration tribunal, and the arbitration tribunal gave us very less time, just about 90 days for us to arrange the funding. Otherwise, the Mistral acquisition would have slipped you know, from our hands. So we did the funding and we were able to acquire the company. Now the path is towards refinancing it. And we are already working very, very aggressively towards that. And hopefully by the end of the current financial year, we should have some good news on that.
Okay, which you mentioned earlier as well, right?
Yeah.
Part is to refinance it. So this would be the peak interest cost. Will that be a fair to assume?
Yeah, you see, these are all, you know, this is the peak interest cost, you know, in terms of the, of course, you know, the actual borrowing happened only in the Q2 of the current financial year. So the total quantum of interest as what would be servicing on a yearly basis as to the current level of debt is around 35 crores per annum. Obviously, that is too heavy in terms of the debt which is sitting on the balance sheet as well as the interest cost. And we are going all out in terms of raising some primary capital to pare down the debt as well as refinancing the balance of it at very much more competitive rates of interest.
I understand. Any other more inorganic acquisition, in plans?
Yeah, so I'll answer that, Deepak. So yes, we have a couple of other targets that we're looking at. I won't get into specific, but there's a couple of them because we firmly believe that, you know, one is of course we will look at organic growth, but there are capabilities that we want to acquire, which we want to do quickly rather than building it organically, which could take time. So there are two targets at the moment we're evaluating. One is in the energy space. The other one is in the industry 4.0 space, which is in the PLM, product lifecycle management, as it's called. So we will be doing the due diligence, and if we feel that it's a good fit, then we will go ahead with it.
And what would be that ticker? I mean, in terms of the valuation, or maybe what is the range we are looking at? Maybe what in terms of $1 million that acquisition?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the range that we're looking at. We're not looking at very big companies. We are looking at, companies which have a revenue anywhere between 1 million to 10 million,
mm-hmm.
which means if it's a 10 million revenue company, then it'll be approximately 100 odd employees. So that is the size that we're looking at, because we feel that we can then quickly integrate and we can harvest the synergies that would be available.
Fair enough, I understood. And my final question is on your, I think in your one of the comment you mentioned that we currently have an order book of $75 million and we want to carry forward $45 million as we go into FY24. So $30 million is we look to execute in fourth quarter?
Well, so that is what our objective is. As I said, we do not want to give specific guidance, but you should take your guidance from what we have achieved in the last quarter and before that.
Okay. Understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Quite helpful, sir, and all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Pradyuman Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So actually I have three questions. First being on the client concentration side, if you could just, in terms of certain numbers, like number of clients we have compared to same quarter of last year and revenue contribution of top one and top five customer, if you could just give some numbers so that we have a better idea how we are moving on this side. And another one on client concentration side is previously, as you mentioned, we had two accounts where we had a lot of dependence, and I think there was some pricing pressure like long back from these accounts. Today, what, like apart from client diversification, which would happen over a longer period, what is the idea? Like, are we in a better position to avoid such kind of pricing pressures from our top customer? This is the first question. Do you want me to say all the questions together?
Yeah, I think so. Then we can, if there's a common answer, then we can probably answer it together.
All right, sure. So the second one is related to the defense business of ours. So I wanted to understand how do we create a USP here in terms of, especially if we look at the drones side of things, there are a lot of players in the industry. So how do we create a USP on the defense side? This is the second question. And the third one is related to the Ad Solutions acquisition. So through this acquisition, we were actually planning to enter the European auto market and acquire capabilities in electrical wiring and software. And now that this acquisition is not happening, how do we plan to address the gap in terms of our target customers, clientele, and the capabilities that is left because of this acquisition not going through? So these are the three questions.
Thanks. Shashi, you want to take the first one?
Yeah. So I'll take the first one. Just to give you an idea in terms of where the customer concentration is, if you look at the top five customers in this 9 months of the current financial year, the top five customers contributed 57% of the total revenue. And that can be compared against 63%, which was for the same period of last year. So, you know, in line with the new set of customers which we have added, of course, it is still very initial days. So it will actually play out only in FY24. But it is, you know, heartening to see that the concentration with respect to the top five customers has come down in 9 months from 63% same period of last year to 57%. And one, the others, which means the other than the top five, the growth with the number with respect to this financial year is they contributed about $17.5 million of the total $74 million, as against $13.6 million which they contributed last year. So in fact, they are growing by about 30%, which is also a good thing to observe.
Yeah, and the second part of your first question, Pradyun, was you know, are we in a better position going forward? We have two strategic customers. So in this year, we have acquired a few logos which are, I would say, very big companies. So in the automotive sector, there are two companies in Europe. One is a $30 billion company. The other is a $17 billion tier one company. And then we have two other automotive customers in India who are, you know, amongst the most prominent names. And in energy, we have again, we work with a very big tier one services company, again, $8 billion. We are on the verge of starting an engagement with a oil super major. So we are looking at adding two strategic accounts next year. in FY24. And out of these four accounts, we are very comfortable that at least two of them would become strategic accounts, and we are putting all our might and our focus so that when we end next financial year, two plus two becomes four, and then we can take it, going forward in that way. In terms of the second question on defense and USPs, so the capabilities that we are known for in Mistral, we do a lot of work on radar and sonar. And these are technologies which go into fighter aircraft, which go into submarines. So they go into very high-end products. And, like Sashi mentioned, we have patents and we have products which are certified, which as these aircraft and submarines go into production, they'll automatically get slotted in, and that's where the pipeline will come from. So if you really look at the defense business, there's just three or four companies which, are prevalent. So there's Data Patterns, there's Paras, there's Astra, and then there's Mistral. And each of the companies has a niche of its own. So for us, the niche is in the radar space, in the sonar space. And when it comes to drones, we have, like I mentioned, we have an anti-drone system, 100 units of that has been sold to the Indian Army. So these are basically machines which can identify hostile signatures and jam the communication protocol and bring a drone down. We are also working on a laser-guided drone detection system, which through lasers can do a hard kill and bring down the lasers. So today, in fact, in the Aero Show, we had some very high-profile visitors. We had the Vice Chief of the Army. We had Lieutenant General Raju who came. We showcased some of these to him. We had the Chief of, the Air Chief Marshal Chaudhary, who's the head of the Air Force. He was in our stall. So we are sort of looking at, showcasing some of these capabilities. And there is a huge pipeline that's coming out in terms of drones. So we have tethered drones. We have other kinds of drones which are applicable both in defense, commercial, as well as homeland security. So this is a space that we will, aggressively look at growing. In terms of the third thing, Ad Solutions that you asked about, the reason we wanted to acquire Ad Solutions is that they were empaneled as a supplier with Volkswagen. And if you look at the German market, the big three, BMW, Daimler, Volkswagen, they have an ecosystem which goes back 5 to 8 years. And it's virtually impossible to get a vendor quote with one of them. The reason we wanted to acquire Ad Solutions is that would have got us access into Volkswagen. And this is a bit like Airbus, right? We are into Airbus. For somebody who's not onto Airbus, if they wanted to get into Airbus, it would take them another 10 years. It would just not be possible. So the only way to get into Airbus would be to acquire a company which is present with Airbus. So the reason we didn't go ahead is that, like you said, there was battery wiring harness and there was software testing, two major contracts that they had. And we've been talking to them since April of last year. One of the contracts was still not renewed. So we did not feel that we wanted to take a risk of acquiring a business where the contracts were not secured. And, I'll tell you, I lived in Europe for 10 years. You need to be very careful acquiring a company in France and Germany because labor laws are tilted towards employees. And these were 100 people in Germany. If we didn't have the contracts, we didn't have the business, it could have been a situation where I would have to move to Wolfsburg, take an apartment and manage the company because the risk would be too high. So that's the reason we were not comfortable. And we believe that at this stage, given all the growth potential, we don't want to derail things by, making a risky acquisition. Now, that company is still a good asset, but, the contract is not renewed for us. We were not comfortable going ahead with it.
So just to follow up on the second and third answer, first the third one, here what are we planning to do now to address the gaps which are left by the acquisition not going through? And regarding the second question, which was related to defense, so one part of my question was I understand anti-drone system, it's not very competitive is my understanding, but on the drones side, which is under Axis Kids defense, that's a really competitive space. So how are we creating a differentiation there?
Yeah, so if I just answer your first question, which is what next in terms of acquisitions, like I said, there are, we have a pipeline of companies that we are evaluating. So I mentioned two companies, one in energy, one in industry 4.0. So we are evaluating those. We are working with, and I have a lot of contacts in Europe, so we are looking at other companies in automotive. For us, automotive is a very important sector, so I'm sure we will land on something sometime in the near future. There are a few candidates that we're looking at, but nothing is firmed up. But the plan is to definitely acquire, something in automotive in Europe or North America. So that will happen. As far as defense is concerned, now if you look at drones, if you look at most of the drones that are manufactured in India, They are all components imported from China, assembled together and sold as drones. The differentiator comes in the use case, in terms of how you are able to customize it for a certain application and what is the software that you are able to package along with it. So really just the manufacturer of a drone, and if you look at all the motors, the cameras, everything comes from China. It is not made, if you do a deep dive, it's the manufacturing of it which happens in India and it is sold. So, you know, where we are focusing on is the drone applications. You know, I believe the mass market drone manufacturer will become a commodity. It will become something which will be easy to get into because it will be a question of assembling things together. What will be difficult is to understand a certain use case. So like I mentioned, whether it is a laser-guided drone protection system or whatever it is to look at specific applications and customize a drone. And for that, you need deep domain understanding. You need to understand the defense applications. You need to understand the needs of the Army or the Navy or the Coast Guard. You need to understand specific criteria when it comes to high altitude, when it comes to launching drones from a ship, stuff like that. And that is where we have a lot of experience, given all the 25 years of work that we have done with defense. So we feel that we will be able to take a drone, customize it to a specific use case, and then, you know, fit it exactly to a customer's needs. And that's what we're focusing on.
All right. That was really helpful. Thank you and all of that.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chandak from GM Family Office. Please go ahead. As the current participant is not answering, we move on to the next participant. The question is from the line of Jatin Jadhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
you are, Jatin. Good evening. So my question is regarding the capabilities for the radar systems. First is that I've been to the website and I can see you provide components to radar recorders, transmitters, exciters, and so on and so forth. So do your competitors. I just want to understand over here what is the product differentiation between you and your competitor. And you had mentioned that you specialize in sonar. Is that correct to assume?
Yeah, so we specialize both in radar as well as sonar. And like you said, there are transmitters, there are receivers, there are exciters, which is what comprises an entire radar. So what we specialize in is that the radars that we develop go into aircraft and submarines. So there are different competitors, for example, who would, develop radars which go into a missile system, for example. So that's where the differentiation comes in. It's in the product that it's finally installed in. But our capability is high altitude. We do all the tests which comes with shock, with altitude, with temperature, and we're able to install these radars. And sonars, of course, again, when it comes to submarines and ships, you know, we do surrounds as sonars, and we do a lot of high-tech stuff by which, you know, you can detect enemy activity all around. So that is where we sort of focus on.
Got it. And the second question is, in our presentation, the defense and homeland security on page 4, you have mentioned simulators and UAV. I just want to understand how big is the simulator market and where do we need it in?
Yeah, so the simulator market is used for a couple of things. One is that you could use it for pilot training. So, you know, for example, the new LCA which is coming out, the light combat aircraft, which is Tejas. This we have developed the entire training manual and the simulator for this. So anytime a new pilot is inducted, the simulator is used. The other activity that we're doing for the Air Force is that they actually want to standardize on cockpit displays across all the fighter aircraft and helicopters. So this is across the Mirage range, the Sukhoi range, the Rafale, LCA helicopters. And this is where we develop a standardized interface because it reduces pilot training. And there is a lot of simulation which goes in there. The other one is what we call test benches, which is also kind of simulation where, you know, we work with Thales and we work with MBDA. So with Thales, all the avionics upgrade that's done for the Mirage fleet has been done by us. And for MBDA, both of these are French companies, the whole depot level maintenance of the missiles which are launched on the underbody of a fighter aircraft, that's done by us. So we have what are called test benches, which simulate real life conditions. So you can't use real life application because these are very expensive equipment and, you know, you will also not have the opportunity. They go off on their sorties, you know, and to get an aircraft back or a submarine back, you'll have to wait sometimes a year or 2 years. So simulators are used to a large extent. And this is where, you know, we supply a lot of this equipment.
And how big is the market, like, if you want to put a number to it?
So, you know, every time a new product comes out, there will be a simulator which is required for it. I just put it that way.
And for my, just please correct me if I'm wrong. So, let's say you put the give a simulator for one particular aircraft, then the maintenance will be your, like the recurring revenue would be from maintenance, right? Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. That's right.
And that might cover the entire cost of the simulator, let's say, for 1 year. You can get the recurring revenue of 1 year again during the entire course of year, or how long will it take?
No, so it depends. So, you know, when we, so simulators, in Mistral, we develop a lot of products. Okay, so in those products, like Sahi said, we do the R&D, we invest, we build a prototype. In the case of simulators, it is not a product that we develop. So it is paid for by the customer, whether it's the defense lab or Air Force or whatever. So it's not that we invest and build a simulator and then we have to recover it back. The simulator is actually paid for by the customer because it's a specific requirement that they have. Whereas in the other cases, we need to take a specification and then build out a prototype. So this business actually is more like the services business, I would say.
Correct. And the Mr. revenue which you mentioned, out of which I agree 50% comes from the defense?
That's right. Roughly 50% comes from the defense, yes.
And can we segregate it between how much comes from the radar, airborne or sonar solution? Is that bifurcation available?
Not really. So we can probably offline reach out to you and give you that information.
Surely that would be helpful. I guess that's pretty noticed. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital. Over to you, Nachiket.
Thanks for all participants to join this call today. In the interest of time, we would now like to close the call. So I would also like to thank the management for taking the time out of their schedule to answer all the questions today. Orient Capital is the investor relations advisor to Axis Gates. For any queries or follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Our contact details are also mentioned in the presentation. Have a nice day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Axis Gates Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.